It's time for Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Brought to you again, compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia, all the banks that you need. And today we're going to do something a little different because we actually have four guests with us today, all part of the Boost St. Lucia initiative. And here to tell us a little bit more about that before we actually go into talking with the finalists. Dinesh, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing good. How is everything going?
Well, everything is good. I'm super excited because I remember you guys were in with us right here on Radio Caribbean International talking about the whole Boost to St. Lucia vibe, and to see now that we have finalists here that I get to talk to let us know about their training, to let us know about their experience. I'm super excited. But before we go to interview the guests individually, I want you to tell us a little bit more about the Boost initiative.
Sure. So Boost was launched in September 2020 because there was a need to fill in the gaps for entrepreneurs in St. Lucia, where they needed support, or where they needed financial assistance, where they needed marketing or training. There was not a little bit of silos, and we needed to bring everything together and connect everything. So think of Boost as a virtual incubator and accelerator program that connects all the agencies that we have to build entrepreneurship and brings them together in one stop, or one hub. Mm-hmm. So that's what Boost was created for. And what we noticed when we were doing this is there was also a gap of where people have ideas. There was nobody to develop those ideas into functional businesses. And given even COVID, that we were in COVID, that the ideas needed to be pushed even further and be developed even further. So that's where the National Idea Pitch Competition came from.
Were you guys happy with the participation or the level of people, the amount of people that sent in their applications?
We are pleased, but we can always expect more. We always think there's more potential, and I think the next one should be even bigger. But we were pleased with the amount of entries that were given in.
All right. And what for you guys as the Boost program?
Can you hear me?
For you guys from the Boost St. Lucia, the initiative, were the goals that you guys set out, were you satisfied with that?
I think we were, yes. We definitely were very satisfied with the goals that we reached. We got seven amazing ideas as a finalist. Okay. So that's already a goal that we wanted to reach. And we hope these companies can actually help change the economy in St. Lucia. And also they as well get benefits and create jobs that are needed in St. Lucia at this time.
Very well said. And with that, we would like to introduce our panelists or our guests this afternoon, Kurt Hippolyte, Kyle Nicholas, and Rupert Fletcher. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and welcome to Youth Unplugged.
Good afternoon.
We're going to start with Kurt. Kurt, good afternoon to you. And can you tell us a little bit more about your pitch and your idea?
Good afternoon, Ron, and good afternoon to all your listeners. I'm representing the idea Caribbean City, and it's primarily focused on providing support to web users and online shoppers in particular. It's focused on optimizing the online shopping experience for St. Lucian shoppers and St. Lucian suppliers. It's multifaceted in the sense that it's heavily app-based, but it also intends to support the app with infrastructure, which has not really been offered in the likes in St. Lucia, and which is intended to be transformative in the way deliveries and logistics are approached in the St. Lucia environment.
All right, that's pretty amazing. And especially now with the advent of COVID, we have now seen that, we're forced to use technology to our benefit. What were some of the challenges you had, with coming up with this concept? That's a little bit more about the behind the scenes of it.
Definitely. I think in formulating the business plan, it definitely had some challenges in the sense where as an entrepreneur, as somebody who is creative and comes up with a business idea, I think you always have limitations and gaps between where your expertise are and where the product or the app development needs to go. So I think that's definitely a challenge that's probably common to most entrepreneurs, where your skills stop and where you find you need to recruit assistance to fill in the gaps. That's one of the hindrances or challenges, rather, I'd say. And I think definitely in each respective field and industry, as you dive deeper, you begin to get a different appreciation of some of the technical limitations in your field. So sometimes you may have an idea that you want to accomplish, but maybe the technology has not really been developed to facilitate your idea. So these things provide challenges, and I mean, I think that's a part of developing an idea and bringing forth a concept to the market. You may start one place, but you may realize the need may develop into something else, or your realization might be slightly different to your original conception. So I think being open to these things and definitely being receptive is one of the things. It's not really a challenge, but it's something I think as an entrepreneur you need to be open to ideas. And you may start out thinking one thing, but realize, like I said, the need has evolved.
Very, very well answered. Do you think that we are in St. Lucia for? Are we ready to use technology to our full advantage, as in comparison to the bigger nations, or is that you? This is what you're hoping with Caribbean City.
I think the timing is correct, given some of the developments, some of the recent developments. I think with an application like Caribbean City, which functions heavily on e-commerce, with the introduction of facilities such as Dcash by ECCB, that makes the advent and piloting that project and seeing how we can incorporate a wonderful idea like that with our wonderful idea. And I think the timing that we're developing the idea and trying to introduce to the market is slightly advantageous, because a lot of the ideas that have been previously developed didn't have the opportunity to be at the forefront of adapting facilities like Dcash. So I think as a country and as a region, we're quickly developing and catching up. I think the challenge as an entrepreneur and as a developer is definitely to bridge the gap. So where limitations lie and where your customers may have challenges with using your product, you definitely try to make it accessible and inclusive. And that's definitely one of the things that is a central focal point of Caribbean cities, making it inclusive. So people with whatever limitations, whether it be reading disabilities or visual impairments or whatever it may be, they still have accessibility. I feel like our product solves a myriad of problems for them.
All right, interesting. Now, thank you very much, Kurt Hippolytz. We go over to the finalist who is on the panel this afternoon. Got to say good afternoon to Kyle Nicholas. Good afternoon. And tell us a little bit about your brand and your pitch to the Boost St. Lucia.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure having me. I'm the co-founder of Bioganic, and Bioganic is a biochemical processing company which focuses primarily on the production renewable energy and environmentally friendly products. Also, the main focus of Bioganics is to develop a substitute for the LPG gas, which is sold currently on the market, mm-hmm. and also to introduce an array of organic fertilizers to our market. We will be doing so through the collection of waste matter. I don't want to give too much information briefly on that. So we'll be doing so through the collection of organic waste matter from domestic households as well.
Nice. What led you and your team to go into this? Of all possible fields that you guys could have chosen, why this?
Well, I am a registered farmer. I deal with, you know, organic matter on a daily basis, as well as fertilizers. And regards to the fertilizer, I never liked the idea of having to use inorganic inputs in my farming. For many reasons, I'm pretty sure that you're familiar with some of that. And also, over the past 5 years, I've observed the price of LPG gas continuously rise. Mm-hmm. Now, given our current situation, I mean, St. Lucia is not a rich country, and even now, because of COVID, consumers have a much lower purchasing power. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it really drove me towards finding some sort of a substitute to make us more sustainable, number one, and number two, to afford our customers, our consumers, the ability to, you know, purchase more than, well, the ability to have more purchasing power, essentially.
Interesting. That's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, all around the world, that is what everybody's talking about, renewable energy.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's a pretty cool, you know, field to go into. Similar to the question I asked earlier on to the to Mr. Kurth, you know, what are some of the challenges that you're faced with this particular industry? I mean, it's relatively, I wouldn't want to say new, but it's kind of strange for our region. So how receptive is the public towards this?
Well, so far, I could say that the public has been very receptive. However, one of our major challenges was lack of resources, because obviously we had feasibility studies and a series of surveys and questionnaires. So the lack of resources, because you would imagine that cost money, right?
Yeah.
To conduct that research. Also, since, like you said, it is relatively new in our region, there is not much information within our government system that supports, you know, that type of research. As far as, like, for instance, standards, you know, the compliance of standards, that's something that I wasn't even able to get because, you know, it has not been done here before. So these are the challenges. However, they have not really impaired our process in any way. Matter of fact, we use those challenges to our benefit.
Yeah, pretty much. That's amazing. I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more about your pitch. We still have a lot to discuss, but trying to move on to Mr. Rupert Fletcher. Good afternoon, and tell us a little bit more about your pitch.
Hi, good afternoon. Well, the name of our company is Intelligent, and the logo, the motto actually is Smart Education. And we seek to help the education sector deal with data management issues. So our desire is to help develop solutions for these issues within the education sector.
Let's talk about some of the issues and that you might be faced in that sector. What are they? Hello, you there?
Sorry, I didn't hear you. You broke up.
I was just trying to find out. What are some of the issues that you were faced or that we are faced with in the education sector that your company or your pitch is dedicated to fixing?
Okay. So within the education sector, we know that information is very important for decision-making. But sometimes the handling of this information, especially due to the quantity, can be very daunting. So administrators and teachers have a lot of students. They have a lot of student issues. They have a lot of communication that needs to be carried out. And with all of this that needs to be done, sometimes it's very overwhelming for persons in those positions. And sadly, we find that this allows issues to fall through the cracks. So some things are left undone, or the approach to dealing with those matters might not be the best. So the more help that persons can get within the education sector, the more likely we are to improve our efficiency and deal with matters that would normally go left and be left undealt with.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool that you guys went into that particular field. Education, I find, is a field that people definitely ignore. When you think about education, you don't think about in terms of business. You think about in terms of your own personal development. So to try and develop a module based on education, that's pretty innovative. And you know, that's kudos to you for that. This is just a general question that I'm asking to the entire panel. What drew your interest into the whole Boost platform?
Well, what actually happened, I'm a teacher of over 10 years now, and I've also been into computer programming. And one day, while speaking with my wife, we were having this discussion about some of the issues, and she suggested putting some of the skill I have towards trying to solve some of them and coming up with ways that I could work on those. So we together started collaborating and thinking of a solution to it. And she was also the one who came across the national idea competition and showed it. So we got working together on it.
Now, I would like to pose the same question to the panelists, the other Kurth and Kyle. What drew you guys' attention to the Boost St. Lucia?
Well, I follow Invest in Lucia's page on Instagram. You know, I try to keep abreast of everything that's going on within our private sector. And, I saw that they posted the advertisement for that program from the very inception. So I followed it, and you know, I saw that there was a competition being held. So I right away I started to, you know, put my stuff together to apply.
Pretty amazing. What about you, Chris?
I was definitely motivated to apply because I think it was a great opportunity to market my idea. It was an idea that I've been sitting on for probably around 2 years. Before the advent of Boost and the competition came about, I mean, it was something that I explored in my free time, and I looked at the feasibility of it. I think the advent of the competition definitely gives it a chance to be publicized and inform the public and see what the reception is towards it. I'm a business person. I'm a writer, and of published offers, so I think it was a good opportunity, definitely, to just a good stage to put my idea out there.
And how did you guys feel knowing that you made it to the final process? You know, that open question again.
Well, it gives me that reassurance that I have a good idea and that it's something that can be applied to St. Lucia. And you know, I hope that my team gets some positive feedback. I hope that, you know, we win.
That's cool. Anybody else want to answer that same question?
Well, I can remember the Dinesh called me. I was really excited. And what also stood out for us is that we were happy to be able to contribute. We know how important the education sector is, and the idea that we'll be able to do something to bolster that sector is really happy, making us happy.
Amazing. That's pretty amazing. Now, I mean, what's next? Because I know you guys, it must be difficult having to balance this and your professional lives. How do you guys balance it? Again, open question to anyone.
Yes. Okay. Well, time management is key. I think it's very important to schedule your time because, I mean, I have so many other things going on right now. However, you know, I ensure that I give a certain amount of time every day towards the Boost program to make sure that I keep abreast, etc. There's a series of training sessions that take place every single day, which some of our team members attend. So, you know, I ensure that I keep abreast every single day. So time management is key.
All right. Dinesh, I want to direct the next question to you. Let's talk about, apart from being a competition, you know, pitch idea thing, you guys also offer a lot of training. What are some of these training elements or focus? What are some of the training elements focused on?
So we don't offer the training personally. We have our partners at the SBDC or at the Lewis Community College, for the Export St. Lucia, St. Lucia Development Bank, Belfund, Chitech. We have a bunch of partners that do offer training. But right now, we're just testing this training out with the finalists, but it will be open to the general public once this competition is finished. So we haven't reached the stage where it's open to the public just as yet, but the program would be open in the future to the public at a small cost, but we're hoping that cost is not a significant cost where the value of benefit that will be better for the person, you know, outweighs the cost.
And let's talk about what is the winner going to get of the Boost St. Lucia?
So there's 7 finalists. We listened to 3 of them, and hopefully next week, and RCI will listen to the 4 other ones. The top 3 will be selected on a pitch competition that happens on April 28th. That's the date that's finalized, finally, with all the judges. So that's going to be the day that we have the final pitch competition, where they will get to, you know, speak to their ideas. All the things that they've learned in the last month and a half, they can add it to their ideas and present it in almost like a presentation form or PowerPoint form, as well as a lean canvas model to form. So once they present that, you know, there's two judges that will judge it, and the top three receive prizes of seed funding, which is something that a lot of entrepreneurs need when they first launch their business. A seed fund is something that provides, you know, an entrepreneur, the startup that they need to get to the next stage. So whether it be electrical bills or house bills or any type of bills they have, we cover that with that seed fund. They also get opportunity to be part of the Entrepreneurship World Cup, which is coming up in end of April this year for St. Lucia. Last year, we had Gillian Averill, who reached the top 100 in the world through the Entrepreneurship World Cup and got to, you know, even get to travel because of COVID, got the opportunity to push his idea even further out into the world for venture capitalism. So that was good. And they also get a lot of bunch of stuff. They get a lot of services from our partners at AIM, our partners at 123 Digital, our partners at Sagico, all sponsors of this great initiative, national initiative, are all going to contribute towards their progress as well. So there's a lot to happen. I want to also say that all seven finalists will get support from Boost right after. That means we continue post-national idea pitch competition support. So if they need something, they need to connect to another person or need certain connections that need to get their business forward, they always have that option. So everyone's a winner already by being selected. I just want to say that.
Right, yeah,
but it is a competition, so there needs to be a top three.
Now, Kurt, I want to ask you, what would you do if you will?
Sorry, can you hear me again?
Kurt, are you there?
I'm there.
Okay, just wanted to find out, if you are selected in that top three, what would you use your seed, your financing for?
I would definitely use my financing towards app development.
Okay.
So definitely recruiting some top developers to help me meet the needs that I need fulfilled. I think that would be able to go a long way, and because of the scalable nature of my business, I think it would be a quite productive use of the seed funding. It would be a small start, but it would be able to go a really long way. And it would be able to do a lot for job creation and creating a lot of opportunities and economical development. That's what I'm looking forward to, creating opportunities for others.
Amazing. Kyle, what about you?
Yes, my seed funding will be used to facilitate the acquisition of machinery and equipment that is needed for my plant, as well as the first couple of months of utilities and the general overheads of the business.
Amazing. Rupert Fletcher.
Yes. Well, like the others, we're thinking of starting off with equipment acquisition. We want to start laying the foundation for the idea that we've been working on.
That's pretty good. And I mean, I'm listening to each of you guys, and I was actually reading some of the pitches, and I understand why you guys are in the finals. I mean, these are just all amazing ideas, and I wish you guys honestly all the best. Just to wind down the interview, what we do at On Youth Unplugged is we try to encourage the young people to, you know, to get up and do something for themselves. So what I'd like you to do, each of you, we start with Kurt as usual. What advice would you give to young people who want to pursue a business?
The advice I would give to young people is definitely not to give up on your aspirations, follow your passions. Like I said, I'm a writer, and that's what I do for a living. So I think just be an example and showing others that it's possible. If you're passionate, that you can put enough energy that whatever you're doing can be productive. But I think the most important thing is to follow your passion and to try to solve a problem. And then everything else will follow.
Kyle?
Yes, I would say to young people, it all starts with an idea. You write that down, then you formulate a blueprint for that idea, how exactly you want to see it go forward, and where you would like to see yourself, what it is that you would like to achieve with that idea. From there, you will have a blueprint to conduct research and to move forward, you understand? And also, You will reach times where you feel like giving up, where you feel like, boy, maybe it's not going to happen the way I wanted it to. But important that you continue pushing, continue, you know, developing that intrinsic motivation, because not all the time you'll have people around you to give you the motivation that you need. And importantly, you ensure that you maintain that trajectory so that you will one day achieve the goal, because it's not going to happen in a year. It's not going to happen. It may not happen in 2 years. For some, it may, depending on the scope or the size of the idea. However, it's nothing happens overnight. So you have to be patient and motivated.
Rupert.
Right. What I would like to advise young people is to open their minds to look at life, and when there are problems and issues, to recognize that in every problem, every situation, there are opportunities laying there that they can tap into to potentially benefit themselves and to help all those around them. I'd also advise them to utilize resources that are available. There are persons within the government, the business, small enterprise development unit, they do some fantastic work. And sometimes what the young people just need is guidance and a little information, and the government is trying to spread that information out to them. So maybe they could reach out to contact somebody within those departments and get that guidance and assistance they need to achieve their full potential.
All right, that's pretty amazing. Now, guys, let's be real. At the end of the day, it is a competition. And yes, you've pitched, you guys have all pitched brilliant ideas, and I must say very brilliant ideas. So the question I have to ask is, what if you are not in the top three? What is going to be left of that business idea? What are you going to do with it? That open question to anyone who wants to answer.
My idea, I have always felt and recognized, because of the guidance that we started receiving, I realized that this idea, I'm still going to push it regardless of whether I top or not, because I've learned to see the potential in this idea.
Amazing. Anybody else want to weigh in on this?
Yes. Well, I've been working on this idea for about 3 years now. So, you know, Boost is more or less a facilitator to get it, you know, on the ball a lot faster than I imagined. However, the process has already started. So whether I win or not, this is something that is going to be done.
Definitely. Pretty awesome. Anybody else?
Yeah, definitely on my end. I said I had my idea for 2 years, and I think Boost has acted as the facilitator to help me kickstart it. I've already spoken to several interested persons who definitely want to explore the idea with me. So I think the advent of Boost is allowing me to really put my idea on paper and really fill in the gaps. So when I do approach people with it in the future, it'll be hard to refuse and hard not to see the benefits of my idea.
Well, guys, I want to wish you guys all the best, and I hope to probably, Danish, you organizing another interview with the top three finalists, the top three winners, that we could discuss the whole experience from start to finish with them. Danish, what's next for Boost St. Lucia after this? Is there going to be second round, third round, fourth round of this activation?
Sorry, you're cutting in and out, but what's next for Boost? We have this competition will end in April. And then we start right on to Accelerate St. Lucia. That's a project that we're working on with current entrepreneurs that are struggling from COVID, for them to apply, and we can give them a boost as well. So companies that have been established for 3-4 years, and right now because of COVID, they need to pivot. So that's what we're going to be working on next. It's called Accelerate St. Lucia, and that's the next big thing for us. We're also looking at a grassroots project later on in the year, where we go down to the communities of, like, the smaller communities, Sozelle, Denry, Miku, Papatois, anywhere we go where there's businesses, and see what their business needs are, and maybe if we can help with those business needs through Boost.
All right, well, we want to thank you guys so much for coming right here on Radio Caribbean International and discussing these amazing things, and we hope to hear more from you guys. And again, we just want to say all the best to you.
We'd like to thank RCI for being a partner, and we continue to be working with RCI. We hope it's a very fruitful partnership in the future.
Thank you very much, Denise. Thank you very much to the rest of the panel. A very good interview and very informative as to letting us know what's going on with Boost St. Lucia. I want to thank Kurt Hippolyte, Kyle Nicholas, and Rupert Fletcher, and of course, Denise, for being with us right here on Youth Unplugged, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor,